Hello, I want to talk to you about a fundamental competency of leadership, one that's often ignored. You see, most discussions of leadership focus on your skills as a boss, you know, your ability to guide and develop and inspire your staff, or your ability to influence peers to get things done, or your business strategy skills. But perhaps even more important than all of these is your competency in organizational design. Let me explain. You see, great leaders work on the system, not just in the system. Think of the leverage. Instead of everything depending on you, in a healthy organization, every bright mind is engaged to the fullest. Organizational processes automatically orchestrate them such that they're working in concert and aligned with enterprise strategies. And as for you, you can step above the day-to-day and have time for strategic thinking and mentoring people and continually improving the performance of the whole organization. Instead of being a cog in the machine, you become the driver of the machine. So let's think about what a great organizational design looks like. First, and perhaps most important, people are empowered. They have all of the authorities they need to match their accountabilities. You see, if ever you separate authorities from accountabilities, well, on one hand, you've got someone with authorities and not matching accountabilities, that person is going to become a tyrant, unconstrained, no checks and balances. Meanwhile, the poor person who has accountabilities and not sufficient authorities becomes a helpless victim, can't get the job done, and a scapegoat when things go wrong. It can't work. Authorities and accountabilities match. In a great organizational design, there's a high degree of specialization. Look, you know that specialists always outperform generalists. If you have any doubt, what if a loved one needs heart surgery? Are you going to go to your family practitioner, your general practitioner? No, of course not. You're going to go to a specialist, right? Why? Because specialists outperform generalists. So an organization of generalists will perform no better than an equal number of specialists. The whole reason we form organizations is to allow people to specialize. And then by combining specialists of different types, the organization as a whole has both breadth and depth. So in a great organizational design, there's a high degree of specialization. In other words, everybody has a clear focus on a profession or a discipline. That organization is comprehensive. It includes all the needed specialists, centers of excellence, everything it might need now and into the foreseeable future. By design, the organization is scalable. It can grow forever without the need for a significant change in its structure or its operating model. The organization is highly agile. This is critically important because the world is no longer stable and business strategies are no longer long-term. Have you heard the term VUCA? V-U-C-A, volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity. Doesn't that describe the world we're in these days? In this kind of VUCA world, strategies are multifaceted. We're pursuing multiple strategies at once. And strategies can change very quickly. Think pandemic, inflation, recession, global competition, shifts in the regulatory environment, a new generation of employee expectations. The world is moving fast. So an agile organization is able to quickly assemble cross-boundary teams of just the right people, tailored to the needs of each strategic initiative or operational imperative. And within teams, there's one group that's fully accountable for the whole project or service, for results. And everybody else on the team is clear about their individual accountabilities for sub-results. And a great organization is aligned so that all its resources and efforts contribute to the most important strategies and services. To do that, priorities are managed at the enterprise level, not by each manager for their own resources. A great organization is both a supplier of choice to its customers and an employer of choice to its staff. In other words, your customers are loyal and your staff love working for you. So, what kind of organization can do all that? First, picture your organization chart. Now, imagine that every box on that chart is defined as a business within a business. Everyone understands that you don't give them budgets to pay their costs any more than you pay the grocery store for its rent and electricity and compensation costs. No, budgets are to pay for their products and services. People see their peers in the organization as customers and suppliers. Now, I'm not talking about money changing hands. It's just the way they view the world. So how does all this work? Well, for each strategic initiative or for each operational requirement, there's one and only one group that sells that product or service. Remember, I'm not talking about money changing hands. Only one group is accountable for delivering that kind of product or service. So let's call that group the prime contractor. And just as a general contractor who builds a house subcontracts to an electrician and a plumber and so on, that prime contractor subcontracts to other groups within the organization for all the needed subcomponents and support services. This way, teams form dynamically. Just the right people at just the right time. It's distinct from fixed engineered processes, which are only good for assembly lines. Dynamic teaming. And for every team, there's a single point of accountability for the whole and clear individual accountabilities for each team member. I call this the market organization. Again, I'm not talking about money changing hands. I'm not talking about chargebacks. I'm just describing the organizational operating model. So imagine what it feels like to work in a market organization. You're empowered, accountable for results, but with all the time and resources and information you need to succeed. You're customer focused. You work well with your peers on teams. And you're innovative, since you're responsible for running a business within a business, not just for roles and processes or responsibilities for tasks or projects as assigned. No, it's your business. And as Edwin Land once said, someone's going to make your products obsolete. Make sure it's you. Innovation is everywhere, and you love that aspect of your job. Perhaps most important, you have a sense of purpose. And I don't just mean the purpose of the enterprise as a whole. You have a local sense of purpose, a purpose for you and your group, and that is delivering value to your customers, internal and external. Now, we know how to implement a transformation into a market organization systemically. It's a process of carefully engineering the organizational ecosystem in which we work. That ecosystem includes organizational structure, teamwork processes, resource governance processes, culture, and metrics. And in each of those organizational systems, we now have firm principles and frameworks. It's really an engineering science. And we have well-proven, participative processes of change. That engineering science and those change processes are what I mean by a leadership competency in organizational design. All the details are in my capstone book, How Organizations Should Work. Now, the challenge is to find visionary leaders, transformational leaders, who are willing to take the time to understand organizational leadership and do the hard work of building the legacy of organizations that perform brilliantly long after they've moved on. I hope you are those leaders. And if you are, I'd be delighted to schedule an hour Zoom to get to know you and help you think through your challenges and your path forward. Please reach out. I'm looking forward to meeting you.